You're listening to the We Are Libertarians Podcast Network. Find all of our shows at wearelibertarians.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
See, if this red light is to be believed, I believe that we are live here on this Monday night. Hello, my everyone. My name is Harry, a.k.a. The Moving Target, here for a new exciting episode of Low Key on the We Are Libertarians Network. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about tabletop RPG games and discussions around it. I've been out of the gaming world for a while, not by choice, involuntarily, not RPGing. Yeah, I've been teased with once a month gaming sessions. It's not enough. I need more. So I discuss all the things around it. This episode is a freeform conversation with it. But of course, as you guys know, I don't fly solo, and the noise outside is because we're just recovering from the storm and it's 50 miles per hour wind. So if I disconnect tonight, that's what's why. Anyway, so we're bringing everyone else tonight. So, because you guys know I don't fly solo. So we got the cutthroat himself, Reinhold. Reinhold, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, so role-playing is a fun pastime, but you got to play to win. So that's what I say.
Okay, right. But I'm going to talk about like RPG games, something like that. There's no winning in it.
Sure there is. There's always winning.
No, dear God. All right. And then, of course,
game, there's winning involved. That's the way it is.
Bring Vincent. Vincent, how are you?
Good. I'm glad to hear that Reinhold, known arsonist, is probably the one that would be the DM that goes to kill the party. Mm-hmm. The one is like, oh, yeah, no. I want to win this game. I know it's supposed to be cooperative storytelling, but I want to win this fight. But yeah, no. It's probably the one that will roll the dice behind the screen and go, oh, no, I didn't fail again.
At least when I do that to your guys' team, I'm rolling real dice. I actually show you guys, like, you guys see this crap?
Yeah.
That was brutal. Some people go, so like, you should just enact the rule that you don't crit. It's like, no, I'm playing too. I get the crit. It's my game. They crit on me. I crit on them too. Let them take a crit. It's more fun.
It's perfectly fine. This is more of if you're playing to win, that means you're making the other people of the party lose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm not playing to win. I like to play to wound. I don't really see myself winning until like I get some grown men crying at my table. Then I know I've won.
So that only happened when I made you cry as well. So that's
it. It's fine. As long as there's some crying, that's all that matters. So. So this past weekend I was on the big show with Kat and Moni from another podcast called the Fake Ass Book Club.
My invitation got lost in the mail, I guess.
Anyway, so it was the episode with the Reinhold, it was for Black History Month, and you just tipped the scales to too white, so we just wanted to make
it too much. I mean,
if it was for that, I would Smangle be replaced by me. I'm the closest thing to the other black person on the network.
No, we have niece. We've also got niece.
Niece doesn't count. He's a raccoon. Niece fast.
Give these bonus DNA results to show you. You got some black in him, not enough to say the N word. Just joked.
It was a piece of paper that just says part Wakandan. That's all it says. Yeah,
I got a lot of more blood in me from all the raping and pillaging from the back in the day. So
it's okay. Modern sock Dems don't know what Moors are. So unless they're black. You know, if they're black, they know exactly who the Moors are. If they don't, you know, it's fine. It's perfectly fine. See, Reinhold thinks I'm joking like this. I'm telling you right now, you could probably talk to any Gen Zer. They have no idea who the Moors are. They weren't taught that.
You got to watch the movie True Romance. It tells you all about it.
I don't like... You like putting up your historical pornography?
Okay. No, right. True Romance is a Tarantino's first actual movie.
I once again do not put you. Yeah, I've seen Dust to Dawn. That was barely a horror action movie.
There's a scene in there where Christopher Walken is trying to get information out of Dennis Hopper. Mm-hmm. Dennis Hopper knows he's dead. Mm-hmm. So Christopher Walken's like, you know, I can tell when someone's lying, right? There's all these ticks and I can tell when someone's lying. So then Dennis Hopper goes on this whole thing about how Italians were used to be white and blue eyed. Now they're not because of the Moors and everything like that. So it's basically he's calling him something that he didn't want to be called. Mm-hmm. It was just a hilarious, like middle finger to him as the guy. And then Chris Walken just blows him away. So it's a great scene. That's some acting. But you were talking about a book club, right?
Yeah, you were talking about the book club. And it just spiraled. So what were you
going to
say?
It just spiraled. So great time with them. We had a great discussion. I actually referenced Vincent a couple of times and Reinhold like that. Because of that, they were talking about how they realized, like because they talk about like our book conference. Like, well, we noticed like most men don't read fiction. And I go like, well, do you count manga as fiction? And like you do. It's like then most men will probably read more manga fiction. It's like,
it's like you just pull up the like here's the spreadsheet. You see where it says 300 completed manga.
I was getting ready to pull up the database. They're like, we actually have a database of like just like how you do with like a book club like that. We have a database collection of this thing. You know, yeah, yeah. Producer Paul, of course, runs the database, but Vincent just adds data to it. Yeah,
so, all the time. I actually have like three more to add.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to have them on to Low Key. They're going to come. They want to come on Low Key. It should be a lot of fun as them matching their wit with Vincent and Reinhold both, because Kat really wants to talk Star Trek, and and she really wants to be like give Discovery another chance, and I'm like, I don't know if I can, so I'll figure out both of you try to convince me to watch Discovery, because I can't, but I'll watch Lower Decks. I'll marathon Lower Decks. That is hilarious. I'll tell anyone like watch some Lower Decks.
I still think you'll like Strange New Worlds if you give it a shot.
I will probably like Strange New Worlds. It's kind of like season 3 in Picard when Cullen was like, just watch season 3. But season 1 and season 2 was bad. It's like, yes, it's bad. Just watch season 3.
I've heard reviewers say that season 3 was terrible.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I haven't seen it yet.
Say I was lied to. I haven't watched it either. I haven't watched it. I just, you know, once Angry Joe looked like he was just done, like it looked like it killed his childhood, I was like, I'm not watching this. I don't want to be there. I have Lower Decks, and it's making me happy.
I watch Picard because I want to know the story. Mm-hmm. So many flaws in the storytelling that it's annoying. But it's still, hey, it's still Trek. It's better than 95% of the stuff that's out there right now. So God. You got to give it that, right?
Yeah. And I don't know. I just. I think the other thing I can't have a problem with him keep going to the well of the Borg, and the Borg keep coming back, and the Borg Queen thing. It's just like, it kind of cheapens everything else that has ever happened. Just kind of like when, like, in Star Wars, there's like, Palpatine's back. He's not dead. I'm like, well, that just
Palpatine, cheapens it. He's returned somehow.
Somehow.
Throw up the spoiler tag real quick. I want to say something. Here's the deal. Season one. I don't know if we need a spoiler for season one, but season one
healing coma.
Was moving along at such an interesting. I was really invested and interested. They had some interesting storyline that was going on, and it could have gone a lot of different ways.
Reinhold, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I like the first 5-6 episodes, I'm in. I'm like, this is interesting. I could see where they're going. They could be going with this. And then they just do a twist where the bad guy is now suddenly helping out everybody and the good guy is the bad guy. But there was no – it wasn't earned. It was just like, okay, now we're doing this. And it's like, oh, geez. You know, it's like those are interesting to do if you do them right. But when you do them wrong like that, it just throws you right out of the story. And then so the very ending of
Disney
it.
Villain twist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the very end of it was just like how they got out of this situation they put themselves in was the most hacky, stupid, tropey thing I've ever seen in my life. So that really put me off for watching season two. I haven't seen season two yet, even though I love Q. The John Delancey, I watched him when he was doing soap operas. I used to watch Days of Our Lives. He was on Days of Our Lives playing a crazy scientist. He was hilarious on that show, and I fell in love with him then. When I saw him doing Q on Next Generation for that first episode, I was as happy as could be. So I want to watch it because I know he'll be good in it. But
okay.
Man, that story, the writing was just terrible that first at the end of the first season.
Okay. All right. Well, I congratulate you for making it that far. I couldn't. I watched them take. I don't know. It was, to me, it felt like I had the nostalgia factor. Like, yes, I would like to see some of the stuff done and back and see what happened. But I realized that I got the closure I needed from the movies. I don't care. I did.
I don't know. The last movie put a, like, I want better ending. Nice and crawl. Then,
and Lower Decks gave me the Riker I really wanted to see, you know.
So my thing with Riker is Riker and Troy,
mm-hmm.
when they did that whole thing with Troy dating Worf, it really irritated me because there is a book that mm-hmm. was written in the expanded universe, as it were, is called mm-hmm. Imzadi, that is so well done. It's such a great book about those two people mm-hmm. and how they feel for each other and everything else. It's tear jerking. It's beautiful. And why they couldn't do something like that as a movie makes no sense to me. It would be great, but
all right. I've never read.
Gotta go to the Borg again, books. I guess.
Yeah. Back to the Borg. Yeah. Back to the Borg. You know, yeah. Like there's so much. Get it. Yeah.
I mean, I like they brought 5 of 9 back. I mean, that was great, but
5 of 9.
Yeah.
5 of 9? 7 of 9?
7 of 9. Damn, I'm thinking of 5 of 9. What am I?
5 of 9. Yeah, put
5 and dime, I think, maybe is in my head. I don't know.
Watch
where I got 5.
Five of nine is when he downloaded the wrong version.
I know he downloaded the wrong one.
That was an Azurian that was a cross-dresser. That's what that was. And I don't know how that. But got confused with.
Okay. All right. I mentioned to the spotlight. Yeah. Star Trek. We'll do some science stuff like that. And also just talking like books and fiction like that. So
Terry Pratchett. We can talk about Terry Pratchett some more.
Yeah. I think it would be great. I think it would be great. We're bringing them on. I don't know if we can. I really want them on for a Friday episode. Because they are talkers I really feel like trying to condense into this for an hour. especially with Reinhold. I think the two of them would just bounce. So
that reminds me of this thing that happened. What, no, just gone.
And I'll just go like this, like, you know what?
Harry like started to approach a topic, and literally every sentence you guys tangented to something else. He said two sentences about the book.
Look, I'm on pain medication, so I you gotta give me a break on that one. I've got an abscess tooth. I'm on all kinds of stuff. My face is swollen. You can't tell, but it is.
Reinhold's on the drugs.
Yeah, I'm on the pot or something.
No, you have to retell the original series, but with a female lead and make her the granddaughter of the Klingon Empire. Okay, Reinhold. Sorry. I said what I said. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. Let's do tabletop RPGs and character creation. So, one thing I want to talk about, it's one of the fun things that I always have, is bringing spice and life to characters and character creation, especially in tabletop RPG games, is making and designing a character. I feel like I kind of like forced my love and some of the cool stuff with it onto Vincent and just hitting over the head with a literal book on how to make character and character concepts.
That's a literal understatement, and we can elaborate more on that in a minute.
But this is the thing that can really pull me into like just about any game. I have played into two different games before the war. I have no idea about the system. I just made a character concept because I would say, like, please play in this game. And I go, like, I don't want to learn your system. And like, just learn the make a character concept. We'll do everything else for you. Go and have fun. And I have, and I play a lot of games like that way. And I think it helped reinforce, especially my early 20s, that the character and the story, to me, when it comes to a TTRPG, comes first. I know to a lot of people that isn't, you know, and from going to like a Tracy Hickman stuff, which Tracy was like, to some people, some gamers, they're not that way. That's not what comes first to them. And it's perfectly fine. That's not what comes first, because there are many paths to having fun. That's just not theirs. So mine is character creation. So like when you build, to me, like when it comes to like building the dice and the stats, it's kind of like, it's this arduous part, because this is when you get to like some of like the statistical parts of it, right? When you're trying to build like what brings your spice. To me, like, I like to think of a character concept, I have to do it, and then backfill in some of the where I get for the dice, and like go through almost like once I get the stats done, like a mortar, like the bricks of my character concept, you know? Like, oh yeah, he's a great, like, let's see, like I'm building a wizard character for Paul's game. Like, he's a great wizard, he's fun loving, blah 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 blah. But it's like, oh crap, I've got a 17 on my intelligence and a 16 in my charisma. My guy's a huge showman also, you know, not only is he a great wizard, highly intelligent, but he's also a great showman, you know, yep, fill in those little gaps.
Thank you, Christy. Welcome. And then
hi, Christy.
Character creation is one of the best parts of most RPGs.
I never liked, like, okay, let's min-max my stats on my characters. I want to play this. So I want to make sure, you know, at some point I like to say, here's the character. Deal with the reality of what that character, you know, we don't get to in our real life make our own stats, right? So we just have to deal with what we're given.
Right.
And I kind of like doing it. I'd rather just pure random, and what I get is what I get, and I make it work.
Right. It's always great to have a character concept as well. Like, again, talking about the Paul's game, literally I made a character who is a rogue, like assassin, who is hemophobic. They're scared of blood. They don't want to see blood.
Okay, I just want to make sure we're clear.
Yeah, they're afraid of blood. Yes, that's the point. Yeah,
he involved in that anywhere? Okay,
right. I was like, the what? yes.
My character's very afraid of blood. You know, they're afraid of blood, and I've basically built this character the different kind of it. The charisma, like stealth. Like more of a thief kind of aspect of it, instead of the murder things.
Yes, yes.
But because playing a flawed character is way more fun than going, I am the perfect person that has ever existed in the world, and I have no flaws, and I must win.
Correct. Yeah. You know, are there there are great tales about the underdog, people rooting for the underdog? I think those work great when it comes to the group. I think group tales of people who are flawed coming together and surviving the day, that's great. That's the reason why you like Lord of the Rings and stuff like that. But, you know, but there are solo tales of like they're perfect, blah, 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 because they're solo and they're the whole freaking team by themselves. And I think that's great if you're playing solo. You know, like, hey, if you want to play Hercules, but you know, but it's got to be like Hercules and his amazing friends is kind of a boring game if you're not Hercules. I don't know if I'll show back after that.
Yeah. It's like the Super Friends when you have to play Aquaman.
All right, Reinhold, we let you play, we made you play Aquaman one time, okay? Stop throwing that in our face.
Yeah, flawed characters is always. Because that's how stories and narratives really work well together, especially in a written form, is that you don't want your character to be perfect. Because if they're perfect, all the struggles pointless.
Right. You've got to start off flawed in order to have a character growth or character arc in the story. That's why a lot of times people will start reading a book and the character won't hit with them because the character's got all these flaws. It's like, well, the character's stupid. He's doing this wrong. He's doing that wrong. It's like, yeah, he's got to learn. You know, over a period of time. Now you have to do that quick. You can't just let somebody suffer for 2.5 books or something like that before you start going somewhere with it. But you also can't just make them God straight out of the, you know, out of the park. You can't do like Sword of Truth is, you know, the character just could do no wrong ever. You know, it's
it's frustrating. There's a balance of a lot of those things is like, if you have one character that is completely like too flawed, like you've bought like a million flaws for the most points or whatever, that character is not a fun and interesting character because they're not realistically flawed. They're flawed to a point of, yeah, I'm playing this paladin that has one leg and can only speak
like undercommon or something. Yeah, or something. Yeah.
It's like, then you're not having fun. You're just being a hindrance to everybody else.
Yeah.
Or you have the Black Knight after he loses his arm and legs. All right, let's go.
Yeah. Or you play like a flawed character that just ruins the game for everybody else because you're flawed. So let's say like Vincent's assassin. That game that flaw is terrible if it's a combat heavy game. That flaw would just like, okay, you are just putting everything at home. Everything at home. But you know, so. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Iski Lee G's. I like flawed characters better, and a bland character is only about demigods level one. Okay. I don't know what shit it is.
The other problem though is when you get into role playing games is that you end up with people who just start playing themselves as the character.
Yeah.
Understanding
and making decisions like if they were them instead of making decisions like it was the character, and that's a tough road to line, a tough line to cross to kind of wind down. But they're more fun, I think, if you look and how would the character react to this? How would they respond? And
a great example is the last game that me and Harry played is that like my character was a mother of three, so yes, she could use his massive cosmic powers to obliterate that thing or take care of her injured son and take care of him because that's what she would do. Well, in my brain, it'd be like, I could just obliterate this motherfucker like now and just move on with life.
I mean, the last time I played D&D I was with eventually Escalja because one guy left, and then Latro and Chip Jones, right? So we were playing online. We were all streaming the game, and we had very distinct characters in the fact that they would have traits that would do things that would be contrary to what we wanted them to do, which is really fun. So, and mine was a bit more amoral. So, and Latro's was like real big into a deity. So we would butt heads all the time with, you know, you can't do that to this character. And I'm like, you know, because I went up and, you know, we were interrogating him. And he is like, I can get anything out of him. He's not going to tell me anything. So I just went over and zapped him dead. And Latro freaks out. You can't do that. I'm like, what? If you do this, he's going to die anyway. So you might as well, you know. He's like, well, you don't do it while he's asleep. You know, we had this big whole argument. It was hilarious. I clipped it out. It's find it.
Do it while he's asleep.
Oops, those are the fun times.
This guy just follow up to Fallout characters being better. It's like the difference between Kirito from Sword Art Online and Kazuma from Konosuba. It's night and day, the difference between the characters. Where you have a character that is massively flawed and one that isn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't lie. We had
interesting characters. He's not 100%
wrong. Got bodied by staircases. What? You get bodied by staircases?
He's not wrong. We would do a lot of dumb things.
At least you didn't burn down the Library of Alexandria.
Okay. I think we stopped before we got to that point.
Oh, Scalja knows what he did. Scalja knows what he did.
Oh my god, you guys are terrible.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But yeah, no, Karen, but it's also the understanding the game that you're playing. Mm-hmm. If everybody's playing gods, then it's okay to build a god.
Yeah.
If you're playing a level 20 campaign, then you're gonna play obscenely overly powerful characters.
Correct. I got in trouble because I was playing a cyberpunk campaign, and my character was making a back end deal with the bad guy, and got found out, and everybody freaked out. And it's like, I mean, personally, got freaked out. Not like they got mad at the character; they were mad at me personally for doing it. Mm. And I'm like, that's what my character would have done. What are you talking about? It's in cyberpunk. Everybody screws everybody over. What's the deal here? You know? They won't let me play anymore.
I got banned from a table because we were playing a Watchmen style game, and so I was basically playing the comedian, and I got banned. It's like, you can't do that. You say, fucking can't.
But there's a fine line between what my character would do and doing something that is just cruel and then blaming it on your character. You know, sometimes that, like, your character will be like, oh, my character's an asshole, it'll do this, in comparison to I'm purposely being an asshole to the party and then saying it's what my character would do. There's a massive difference between the two, because if my character's a dick and I'm being a dick to NPCs and still cooperating and making things happen in the party, it's completely different compared to, well, my character is a paladin, and I think that you're evil, so I'm going to verify you're evil, and I'm going to kill you. It's like, then you're not having fun. You're purposely killing. Yeah. You're purposely killing the campaign because you're being an asshole.
Yeah, that's true.
That's a big difference there. Yeah. Is that if my character is going to be a dick, at least don't be an asshole. Yeah.
Yeah. So my character do is that guy being over people. Yeah. Because I wasn't being that guy. I was just more of if you watch Watchmen, it was just being the comedian.
It was the line from Guardians of the Galaxy. It says, he knows he's a dick, but he's not a colossal asshole.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, like my character was getting crapped on. Like, I just like nearly died saving the city, right? Nearly died. And you know, like someone was protesting us, like boo, boo, and I sat there. I was like, you know what? I just unload both barrels in this guy's face. What? I don't care. I just saved this city. I'm just gonna blow this dude's face off and throw him in the basement. Walk off. What? Don't care. One more. Don't care.
But if that's also how your character has been the entire game and everything before that is similar to that kind of action, then that's not out of the blue. It's comparative to being like an asshole for no reason.
No. Like my character was just he's just gone through some shit. This person's in his face giving him shit. I'm supposed to just keep taking it. It's like, I'm done. Done taking it. All right, so. But like I said, I like character concepts. It's fun. And I think that's also makes me love also like being a DM, game master, storyteller is because I get to pop in different characters all the time, you know. So like, I'm always excited when I get to play just one character, you know. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, I mean, playing one character, you have a lot more agency than being the DM, because mm-hmm. being the DM, you're forced to play what everybody else is forcing you to deal with.
Yes,
and that's one of the bigger aspects of the two, is that yes, you might like playing all the NPCs in the game, but you're the game system, not the player, basically.
Right. Yeah. So the other thing I want to talk to you is, I think on the docket, is when it comes to maps and map building. So I am a huge theater of the mind. One, I hate making maps and design maps because I think it mostly becomes, which I'm finding out is more because I make a lot of games that are open world. I allow a lot of the times, I know I frustrate my players at my table because I present problems, there's clues, and the world's a freaking oyster, and they can do what the heck they want. I'm not trying to force or railroad them into something, and since I don't do that, making maps for me is more difficult because anything could freaking happen, you know, versus like, you know, like trying to force them into different things that are happening around them. I think it would be easier for me to develop maps because if I know, like, hey, there's probably like 2 to 3 different locations that they're going to go this game session, and I could probably easily sit there before the game session now and design like a freaking map. But since you've got North America, it's kind of hard for me to make a map.
Mapping things out, it depends on what it is, because a lot of people use maps for things, especially if you're only staying in one environment for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's a dungeon crawl. Paul has a point. Sometimes you have clues for third graders, but we're actually napping as kindergartners.
Yeah, I think that was the problem with the one we were doing online, is the GM had set all this stuff up and we were just not catching his clues. It was obvious that we were missing, and I think he just got kind of frustrated and said it was done.
But that also kind of goes with understanding the concepts going into it. Like, if you want a solid example, in that World of Darkness game that we were playing, you, as the DM, had to go through a process of, I know what they're capable of, so I have to scale everything to what they can do. But when we couldn't do it, because we didn't understand it the same way you did, things were way harder. Because in your head, it's like, well, they're going to be able to do this, this, and this. And when you realize, oh, wait, they only use like a fraction of their abilities because they don't understand it like I do. things get way more complicated. It's like you can have amazing plots and ideas and thoughts and clues, but when you're expecting this person who can control time and space to figure out, all right, this is the time you're supposed to use your controls time and space abilities, and they have no idea that that's what you have set up, it makes the plot a lot harder to deal with. It's okay to do it. And because of that, the kind of games you like to run, maps aren't as easy to put out there, because you're running like World of Darkness and the map is this city.
Go. Yeah, and anything you go to, you can go and just like, I just go to a random bar. Can you go to this bar that I've designed a map for? No. I want to go to, it's blank this time, I want to go to X bar, you know? Ryan Hall's like, what are you talking about? All right, Ryan Hall, like, you play World of Darkness. So it's basically, what years were you in? Like, the 80s, right? What
was the 80s? It was like late 90s, because
late 90s, yeah,
computers and stuff.
Yeah. So if I said you're like, it was 1997, you're in Indianapolis, and you're like, all right, let's go to a bar. You could go to any bar you wanted to in the city of Indianapolis in 1997. What bar are you going to?
There were 4 bars, like, I think Jackals or something like that, downtown at
the there mall. It is. Yep. Boom. He's like, there are 4 bars, and he has to pick one of the 4 to map out.
No, they're all right next. They're all like connected. They were all connected in the downtown mall that kind of fizzled out eventually, but that was the place to go in the 90s.
Yep. Yeah, that was nice.
And Meridian Street had a couple good bars too. Meridian Street had some good live bars, like right next to each other where the comedy club used to be too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Good comedy downtown Indianapolis. You've still got Helium, right? It's got Helium. So, anyways,
is Helium downtown now? I thought some of them are closed. So I don't know where we're at on that.
I don't know
situation. But I go to Bloomington now because Bloomington's got the best comedy club in Indiana. So. Just saying.
Rocky has a point
there. Oh gosh. No, he does not have a point.
Oh, it is the absolute fact.
He's like, yes, midnight. I was like, yes, when I was 3 years old, I knew exactly how Indy was set up.
Good. Glad you do. All right. Yeah. But no, yeah. So to me, it was always difficult because of the, I think, but I even did that like in D&D games, like when I would play that. It's just like, you know, like, I think maybe because I had like players like, well, I felt like you railroaded me to this. It's like, yeah, I railroaded you to my map.
What, yeah, I got you to where the excitement is, you know, or else you can be bored sitting at this place with nothing happening. I mean, you want to have some fun or not?
Oh, yeah. I did play a game where, like, they're supposed to go get all the magical MacGuffin devices, and they didn't want to go do that. And then when they finally wanted to go do that, they realized, like, the bad guy found out about the magical MacGuffin devices and was upset that he got half of them already. Like, you guys were going after magical MacGuffins. So he was going after them. So he started going after him. You guys weren't there.
The first adventure I ran, we were just kids. I was like 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. And I got a module called the Temple of Elemental Evil. If anybody knows old D&D, that was like a big deal. It was a big, thick adventure. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of great stuff in it. And you start off going into this town and picking up clues by talking to the people in the town.
Mm-hmm.
My group goes in there and they're like, well, I'm just going to kill this guy. And this guy, when you get in a bar fight, they kill a bunch of people. And it's just like, you can't even start the adventure now because you've just decimated all the people who are giving you clues to get to the place you needed to go.
Yes, hobo. The murder hobo. Classic murder hobo.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm done. I never got to play that dang thing.
The thing about maps is also maps usually lead to combat. When people do a lot of maps, it's you have now planned ahead for things that you want to happen. So if like I have this dungeon set up and I make a map for it, then people when they see a map, they're expecting combat.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. Especially if I bring a map out, like, oh, yeah, this combat happened here.
But also, you don't like combat.
No. Well, there's a whole system. I know Rollmaster did this, and others did too, where you can have a whole on the fly encounters set up that not all of them are combat. You know, encounters where something good happens, something, you know, that sort of thing. And if you do that, you can help yourself out in coming up with things on the fly. Cause sometimes you get stuck and you can't think of anything right off the bat. And you can refer to that stuff to kind of get you through and maybe lead a different direction. So there are tools out there. It's just.
So Scouger is thinking macro with maps and we're thinking micro with maps. Cause the Scouger is like, oh no, I was making continents. You guys to explore and stuff. And you were talking about, here's this room. Here's this map of this room.
I have graph paper. The room is 5x10, right? So I'm mapping out a 5x10. I'm putting a door in the middle. You know, that's how I used to do dungeons. Yeah.
Right. See, like I would do that for dungeons. Like when we were playing D&D 3.0, we're like, okay, we're going to go into a dungeon, right? I will design a dungeon that way. But like the campaign is like when I finally started getting outside of like dungeon crawls, like, oh no, there's an overlapping story. Let's go for all the things that are happening, you know.
It reminds me of a funny little joke in Big Bang Theory when they're doing a D&D campaign and they go through and it's like, oh, you're in a dungeon. And he kind of looks at him and says, and you encounter a dragon. And then Sheldon's like, okay, come on. That's a little on the nose, isn't it? We're playing Dungeons and Dragons. He got kind of mad about it.
Come on. Yeah.
Theater in the Mind works for But also there's the other fact of how you envision the world is because you're so into character and aspects of character is that it's more free form for you to go in your head.
Yes.
Probably, Scourge, probably. But also, no, you also did a lot of LARPs.
Recorded for a live audience, so that wasn't a laugh track, but okay.
Yeah.
But you also did a lot of LARPs, Harry, which makes it also massively different because you're used to person-to-person interaction compared to on the mat.
Yeah, yeah. Walking around like a regular room and you have to envision what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So because you're used to that and you're just in a regular room and you have to theater of the mind literally in person while you're having conversations, it's natural for you to just do theater of the mind.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easier. Mm-hmm. Just easier. The other one I want to talk about is what's like organization, how to keep your things organized. I've seen like there's a lot of been cool applications online, which I think is very helpful for like the newer DM or some of the modern DMs. I wish I could get used to using majority of them. I feel very like a very old timer when I try to, I don't know how to use any of them and I don't use any of them. And I wish I did use them so like it'd be easier to have people come to my table because there's a lot of stuff that you can use for people to like help keep their things online so they can see all that versus like, nah, bro, I got a folder. I'm going to put your sheet of paper in this folder here, yeah. And I'll just print you out when I get it.
Like Roll 20 or like World Forge and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Which is, they're really neat stuff, you know, like, so you guys can see your sheet. You can easily print out your own, or I could still print it out. Everyone can see everything's going on. The organization, it keeps everything in one place, you know. And even some of the ones where it keeps all, like, your notes, like Obsidian, like, keeps, like, you can easily make notes in trees. So, you know, even, like, the players themselves can easily go back and, like, compile their notes together and see the watch the world form as they, you know, begin to learn new things, you know. I don't do any of that. Everything I do is in a crusty old Trapper Keeper over there.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's just because it's digital, it's easier to do. Mm-hmm. You're not as forced to sit around and share pieces of paper. But even now, like even without that, you can use like, oh yeah, we have this shared Google Doc where we all take notes and share the comments and build the world the same way.
I love technology and I love the idea of having OneNote and notes and everything digital and everything like that. But when I'm on a meeting with somebody and I'm taking notes, I grab a pen and paper. I still do it because it's just easier for me to do and think while I'm doing it. If I'm trying to type while I'm doing it, I don't think I'm as engaged. And I don't know why that is. I think it's just, I'm an old, you know, old Gen X guy, right? So it's just the way I think.
I project plan the way I was taught how to project plan back in the day. Many, many post-it notes on a wall and pens and paper. Every time I've got a
with string wall between them, pointing to who the ultimate boss. You know.
Okay, so
the conspiracy doing behind it.
Yeah, if I have to be a project planner like that, that's what my wall looks like sometimes. There's been a couple of times when I was at an office. One time I was like, "What the hell is going on? Making this make sense? Hold on a second."
Get Charlie daying it up.
Yeah, especially like with like Google Whiteboard, I could do that for that. But when I try to go like D&D game, it's like pants and paper. It's like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I think maybe like I like it because of low distractions for me. I think I kind of want to join someone's table who is very high tech to get that experience to force myself to do it. But at the end of the time, then it's just like I don't know. You know, I respect people who want to do it, and I would help them, especially if they sat at my table. Like, hey, Harry, it'd be great if you use this tool to help me organize. I will try my best, but because do it like.
But it's also what you're used to. It's it's the thing that you've learned how to play tabletop games with.
Yes.
Like, if for the new people coming in who just joined tabletop games with 5e and Roll 20, that's natural for them. You come into them, it's like, all right, here's the player's handbook and here's your notebook to take all the notes. They'd be like, bro, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Because that's not how they learned how to play the game.
Yeah.
So you guys have been playing what? Reinhold, you probably played since first edition D&D. Yes. Right. And then Harry's what? Second ed?
Yeah. Advanced second ed. Yeah.
Although I have to say, there's been a lot of years where I wasn't playing. So it's not like I have a lot of experience playing consistently since then. But yeah.
But still, it's more of like that's how you guys learned how to play. That's how so you guys got comfortable playing it because that's where you learned it. And for you, I almost could easily bring back that this is the environment for this. Because a lot of people have certain environments for certain things, you know.
That's why I like I still like graph paper when I do D&D. I want a graph paper. We were playing the one where we were streaming it, and it was just like, okay, he'd tell you the room, and I'm like, I need to be able to write this down in some way so I can have a visual.
That's right, Eski Lee's. Reinhold's first role play was playing one of the shadows in the allegory of the cave. That is 100% true. Those are facts. Facts.
Solid. Solid.
Fact checked.
Good. All right. Yeah, getting graph paper, and that's how you're used to playing it.
Yeah. It's how I roll. Like I started trying to build something in Visio. And I realized I was going way into too much detail. Because I was like, oh yeah, this thing would be 30 feet this way, 40 foot this way, you know, we're going to go like 60 feet in the air, and this is going to be made of this material. I was like, I'd be really upset they never came here. I'm doing a lot of effing work here, busy. Right. building a
And then they completely ignore it. They go somewhere else. That's not where the plot is.
Yeah, or burn the thing to they'll just burn the thing mm-hmm. to the ground. Like,
or they let themselves die before the plot can resolve.
That's true too. They just you know, they could just die or choose to die. Choose to die. Mm-hmm. You know, you just choose to let the death happen.
There are some issues in our last.
Did you just want to do damage to me? Is that what you wanted?
I mean, that's we were talking about this. I assume this is what it is.
Well, Ryan, it's I don't think it is therapy. I think it's just more like I just want something I wanted to talk about. I have been because I finally got over. And I've been itching to play a game. I'm not really currently running one, and I was trying to get up, and I was going to try to pull you into. I realized that I think the start trying to get that game up and running, there's too poison for me. I think I've lost the thing for, and I was going to have a lot of fun because I really was going to let the players that was played in the other game come to this game and actually kill the. I purposely put in the bad guy in there as a semi-boss so they could just kill him. So they could have some satisfaction, right? You know, and one, I get my big fight that I planned on, you know, but they could still kill him, you know, too. Mm-hmm. So their new players wouldn't feel like anything. Okay, we killed this guy. But they would be like, you know, like the players would just be like, take that, and just stuck. You're like, yeah, we got him. We fucking got him. Fucking burnt him. You know, the player kid's like, okay, we just, that guy just attacked us. We got him. All right.
Yeah. So basically, Harry is basically saying the climax of our game got completely ruined and he wanted to give us it again. But then he realized that he can't touch that because that's attached to that game. Now he wants to do a different game because it's all poisoned all the way down.
Yeah, just poison. Just poison. Yeah. 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 It's nothing worse than like having the climax of your game just like pulled out from underneath you. You know. But you know, that's over there. But I'm just thinking about deciding a new game. I come up with a different concept, you know. You know, I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think the one person who would be who I would want into it, but as long as he tries to have fun in the game and doesn't try to like break out a slide rule and try to make it too science, it would be Reinhold. It's who I worry about, you know.
Yeah. I played games where we didn't even roll dice. It was all just what your character did, and the DM would say, yeah, I think that would work, and then that's how it would roll. We wouldn't even have to go that route. So I am not a rules lawyer, let me tell you.
No, it's not that. It's more of just going like if I give you a Gundam and you ask like what's powering this thing, and I said it's a nuclear reactor, like, well, I don't know if I want to be sitting on top of a nuclear reactor.
with guns. Can you would my character? That's the thing. Would my character care? And I would play the character the way the character would play.
That's good. I thought about just creating like a different energy source too. Like, so what does this thing run on? Unitanium.
The hopes and dreams of children.
Yeah, that's what it runs on.
It's a doesn't existium.
So I use in comic books. It's run on Batmanium. Which is a real thing in the DC comics, by the way.
Shut up.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing in the DC comics.
Is it on the periodic table next to pink kryptonite?
I think that came out.
Table, sir?
Okay.
I think that came out during the campy years.
Mm. Oh, Batmanium? No, that was recent.
Was it?
Oh, that's recent. Like Court of Owls recent.
Look at Randall. Like, he's gonna cry. Like, he's like, no, like, not my Batman.
I ordered Batman for over a decade, so this is not my Batman going on right now. My Batman got his back broke, and I was kind of over it at that point.
Okay, Randall's gonna go hashtag not my Batman.
Randall's like, the only real Batman is Batman of Zur-En-Ah.
Not into the whole Ra's al Ghul stuff.
Yeah. Small little.
There's magic pool that just brings you back to life. You know, shut up. All consequences are no longer important.
It's neat if it's limited. Like, it's limited and there's huge consequences going in, right? But the simple fact, like, if you just keep using it, it is kind of like, what's the point, you know? You know, even in Dragon Ball, like, oh no, he's gonna die. But we have like two differences.
It doesn't matter.
Two differences of Dragon Balls, and we cool with a god. Okay,
and one of them is the Universal Dragon Balls. Fuck out of here!
Don't even care. It's like, so death means nothing.
Yeah,
means nothing. You know, and you got one person just, you know, using the Dragon Balls to wish herself younger by 5 years. Okay, all right.
but that's the issue with a lot of, like, it's bringing that back to D&D is having consequences for your actions.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's true.
There's a lot of issues that people have where some people just do whatever they want because the DM doesn't really enforce consequences,
mm-hmm.
or the people who don't like having consequences and they get really upset when consequences happen to them.
Mm-hmm. Bad guy heals one time. What the? How dare he? Or yeah. All right, so. I've been robbing the town blind. I'm getting successful at all my checks. You know, you think you've been successful. What? They've actually alerted the guards. Everyone just didn't want trouble. They're coming for you.
Right. It's like, bullshit. I swore high. But it's like, you caused mayhem.
Yeah, you caused mayhem. Or they also don't care. People are being robbed. Get the new people.
Yeah.
Get the new ones.
But I was crouching.
Freaking crouching.
Yeah, consequences are honestly one of the things that really make or break a game, like a tabletop game for sure. Is that if there's too many of up you died, but there's always a place for you to revive, and your death really doesn't mean anything. It's completely different to it being like, this death is massively important and it's emotionally affecting to, all right, this game is just a meat grinder. You should might as well just have 5 characters made before you walk in because you're just going to die and we're just going to bring a new character in because whatever.
Yep.
It's all about understanding where your game is.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody to just be able to go, well, I just put out another character because my last one just died again. But that's not what you just signed up for.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Underhill's cousin, and I know everything Underhill knows. I'm real join the party. Yeah, let's go. Step over grave.
Yeah.
Step over shallow grave of your cousin. Continues the journey.
Mm-hmm. But I think the most important thing is knowing if you're compatible and setting reasonable expectations on both ends.
Yeah.
Correct. Like, session zero is massively important.
Mm-hmm.
having a session zero to understand where this is what the DM expects, this is what the players expect, so mm-hmm. you guys can get to a middle ground of, I like, let's say like somebody wanted a lot of combat, yeah. and somebody else wanted a lot of role play. Well, mm-hmm. it's either that you guys are incompatible and you guys can't play that game that way, or there'll be a solid mix of both,
mm-hmm.
so that somebody yep. can get cashed in, and somebody else can role play, and then you just have the trading off of things.
Oh my god, I forgot about that. Quick, I'm behind the pile of dead bards. Oh my god. But yes, I think also be able to realize like what you want from the game, you know. If you don't want like combat, or you want more role playing, or you want more combat, or you want more lore, you want more you want something from the DM that lets you know that you're actually progressing either through the dungeon or through the story, you want some sort of in-game-ish milestones through everything, you know, just tell your DM, like, you know, they want you to have fun. And, you know, the DM's also trying to have fun too, so he's not trying to, like, hurt you or do anything, but, you know, because they're friends most of the time, and they're also there at the table to have fun, you know? The idea of you showing up to the table to show up to the meat grinder, that's not fun for him either. Or her.
Well, I mean, it depends. It depends on who's running it. That's why session zero is important, is yes. if the DM wants to play a massively heavy, massively difficult game, and you're a masochist that likes that kind of stuff, or like your favorite kind of combat is, you know, if it's challenging and I barely get out through the skin of my teeth, mm-hmm. you might want to play that game. It's just communicating and understanding. Like, communication is, as in all relationships of any kind, is yeah. so important. Yeah. Talk to them if you're having an issue. Talk to your DM. Talk to the players. Mm-hmm. Understand that this mm-hmm. is an issue.
Yep. I remember playing in one D&D game, and the other players was always wondering sometimes, like, why combat, we just dodge combat. I would dodge combat too, you know. And when we do get into such a just a dredge, you know, and it was only like a couple of counters that the players found out why combat was so difficult. It was my freaking character, because the DM saw my character sheet, knew what I brought. I just didn't use it. I was just like, I don't want to use any of that, you know. I brought a very cheese optimized cleric. It was the it's my go to build. it's very cheesy, and it can just wreck things really quickly, especially at low levels and mid levels, and which, in my experience, has been most games have been. Most games don't make it to level 20. You know, unless we start really high to get there. You know, I usually don't get a character level 20 all the time. I don't know why. I shouldn't be barred from that. But yeah, I would bring in human cleric fighter, two levels of fighter, and the rest all cleric, because this way I get all everything good about being a fighter without the extra feats. But it's okay, because I'm going to dump a bunch of cleric stuff on top of it, and you just go to town. There is nothing like moving into someone's square, hitting them with an attack, and then leaving without hitting someone with holy smite, and then leaving without creating an attack of opportunity. Just walk off. Just leave. And since you have two levels of fighters, all your armor and weapon proficiencies are all just fighter weapon proficiencies, which, since you're casting cleric spells, you don't have the drawback of casting spells.
See, this is what I mean.
Chef's kiss.
Harry has spent a long amount of time perfecting the art of the cheese. Mm-hmm. And when he DMs, he has to factor in the art of the cheese. In that last game we played, the character that was given to me was the character, would, if he were to play it, would have destroyed the entire game, because it wouldn't have been fair, because he already understood and fully grasped the abilities that they had. So he had to balance the game around if I figured it out like he had it.
Yeah, pretty much.
So it created a massive disadvantage for the players, because they don't think like he does.
Well, yeah, yeah. And that's also for the other characters, really kind of like the vampires really didn't understand that they were effing powerful at all either.
Right, that's my point. Is that like,
I'm weak. I was like, you have bashing damage. Bullets are bashing to you. What? Don't be afraid of guns. Because you shouldn't be. You know, just, it's what like if I hit you with 3 points of bashing damage from a gun, you're gonna have that, and then you can soak it with your full stamina pool. Go.
Right, but that's what I mean. It's just like that game in particular, you can definitely tell the difference of the four novelists playing with the veteran DM.
Yeah.
Who had to create the game around, oh, what if they figure out that this character could basically warp time and space and never be able to get touched ever again? So I have to make the combat so if they figured it out, that I won't get bodied.
Which I always loved was like, because like it built like the big bad. It's like, all right, you're going to shoot him. All right, since he's a vampire, he's going to have that damage, right? Then he's got this other ability, so he's going to have it again. What? He just halved or halved. And then he's going to soak the other div 5. Put your guns up. Put your guns up.
See what I mean, right?
Put your guns up.
He just stated things like, all right, cool. I have no idea how half of that stuff works.
I have your halved. I'm going to half it. Cool. I'm going to half it again. What? And then I'm going to soak it at div 5. What?
Mind you,
the old 55 monk.
This is Ward of Darkness, meaning that you're rolling d10s for everything. So you soak it at 5.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a roll of 5 or higher.
Mm-hmm. Soaked it. Oh no, you did me damage. I burned a blood to heal it. I don't care.
But it's more of just that. That's what it comes down to, is understanding and getting the understanding where everybody's coming from. Like for this game that Scourge is going to run, understanding how each of our characters are going to interact, and if me and Harry are going to play characters that are not combat focused,
mm-hmm. Yes.
him playing a gambler wizard and me playing a thief rogue who's afraid of blood.
Yeah. Trust me. I like my first thing when I start looking at it was like, oh man, I'm gonna take it this spell. I'm gonna just be. That's against the concept. That's just this is more of the concept. This is more right. fun.
Yeah. And it comes back to the beginning of character creation and concepts of sometimes min maxing isn't fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Min maxing and yeah. It's also like what your character does, like also like outside of the adventuring. Like what did you do before you became an adventurer? And also understanding the adventuring aspect. I played games with people where like this dangerous quest, like, well, we can't do that. That's effing dangerous. You're adventurers. This is what you do. This is how you make money. Other than this, you're gonna go poor in town from drinking and doing nothing because you have you suck at your jobs, you know.
Right. Like that this character I'm making for Paul's game, I literally made Paul make up lore on the spot. Like, Paul, how does this work? I haven't thought that far. I need you to think that far, please.
Yeah, I need you to think that far.
so I can make this character fit into your world better, please.
It's better this way. It's better this way. Yeah. All right. Well, before this episode will get too long in the tooth and I start bringing up gas grills, let's go ahead and like try to round it out. Ryan Hold, did you anything you wanted to bring up or before we end this thing?
No, just the key important thing is that you're there to have fun. So try to have fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And realize everybody else is trying to have fun too. So don't crap on their fun just because you don't understand it.
A great thing is to remember that every game is unique. Not everything is uniformed. Not everything is Critical Role or the YouTuber you watched play D&D. Not every DM is going to be Matt Mercer or the streamer that you know, or that one guy you played that one game with that one time.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's always good to remember that each game is unique, and don't try to put everybody in boxes. And also, if you want to, there are plenty of channels out there to look up that talk about, you know, horror stories, character people being ridiculous in RPGs, and understanding that using those is a little bit of an example of what not to do. mm-hmm. when it comes to it. You know, don't be a dick. Don't purposely try to edgelord it out and make it make your character unengaging or mm-hmm. anything along those lines. So just enjoy the game and enjoy however you play it. If you're a combat monkey and you guys love playing, you guys love fighting in dungeons and dungeon crawling and rolling dice and attacking, have fun. Get your group of people that want to do that. If you would rather set all the dice aside and just talk as characters in character, do that. Yeah. You know.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. If hopefully this has spurred and all you listening to this, especially if you made it this long in the episode, you either have played or want to play again, and hopefully they have this bug bite you too. So please go to find a table and roll some dice, make some character, build some character. All right. Also,
remember, no D&D is better than bad D&D. If it's bad, leave. That's the most important thing. It's like, don't suffer. Don't force yourself to do something you're not having fun with.
Correct.
It's like watching a bad movie, and you're just like, oh, I got to watch the movie. You don't have to watch the movie. You get up and walk out.
Exactly. It's a game. You're supposed to have fun. If you're not having fun, try to fix it or leave. No D&D is better than bad D&D.
Trying to do my ending thing, and you're like,
you're welcome. You're welcome.
We're helping.
Are you?
Yes. Yeah.
I think we're helping. All right.
So just remember, like, you can be listening to anything else in the world, but you just have to listen to this episode, and that I thank you. Keep in mind that this is a live show on 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Monday night, so please come join, hang out with us live. If you download this podcast form, thank you. But prefer you come hang out live with us on Mondays. We are still going to do, like, a live Friday show, I don't know which day we're going to do in March. It's going to be kind of tricky this March because of spring break. For some reason, the kids get 2 weeks off now for spring break, which is bullcrap. Utter bullcrap. And one of them's on St. Patty's Day, so what the hell? So, should be fun. Anyways, thanks for listening. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.